بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. باب جواز الاستلقاء على القفاء ووضع إحدى الرجلين على الأخرى إذا لم يخف انكشاف العورة، وجواز القعود متربعا ومحتبيا. This is a new chapter which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought under the general etiquettes of sleeping. That is, what is the sunnah postures, sunnah position, what are the du'as, etc., pertaining to the manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam adopted respite and rested. The chapter which deals with the permissibility of lying on one's back with one leg raised over the other, as long as there is no fear that one's satr, aura, will be exposed, and the permissibility of sitting cross-legged, and the permissibility of sitting with one's legs drawn up. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. For you in the Rasul of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the most beautiful example. And we cannot possibly discharge our debt to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, and the generations thereafter, in that they meticulously preserve for us every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only what we would consider to be aspects of ibadat. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was our Nabi in ibadat. For example, Salah, he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Read Salah like you see me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reading Salah. When he came to Hajj, he said, Khudu anni manasikakum. Take from me the rites of Hajj. So he was our Nabi, our example, our role model when it comes to ibadat, but not only ibadat, outside ibadat, every aspect of life. And we find, like we said, that we cannot possibly repay the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the manner in which they, almost with a microscopic gaze, they took note of every nuance of his existence. How he smiled, how he walked, how he talked, how he interacted, how he sat, how he slept. All that has been preserved for us. There's no excuse for any one of us. We have a directive, we have a master, we have a role model for every aspect of our lives. And it is important when we listen to these ahadith, they should be with the niyat of amal. Implement, bring these things. There's no one here that doesn't sleep. There's no one here that doesn't rest. There's no one here that doesn't sit. Every one of these things, beautify it with sunnah, with the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then it will become nur, it will become light, it will become ibadat. And even in our homes, when we observe our children, this is part of the role of a parent. And this is part of upbringing. And it's part of what our elders encourage us in our homes, part of our daily ta'lim, reading of the ahadith, reading of the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to encourage our family members to bring these things into their lives. Now, when it comes to sleeping, generally there are a few postures. Either you face the right side, or you lie on your back, or you face the left side, or you lie on your stomach. From the ahadith that have already passed, we see clearly that the preferred sunnah method of sleeping is face the right hand side, with the right hand underneath the right cheek. As for the other three postures which I mentioned, sleeping on the left side, we will see from the ahadith we learn this is permissible. Sleeping on one's stomach, this is not permissible. This is, as we see, the riwayat of Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that this is the posture of the people of Jahannam. And if you see the other riwayat, wherein it was mentioned that this is the posture of shaitan, to sleep on one's stomach. So like I said, if our children, etc. at home are in the habit of this, with muhabbat, with love, we should encourage them not to do that. So on the stomach will not be permissible, left hand side will be permissible, lying on one's back, which is this particular chapter. And Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma, annahu ra'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mustalqiyan fil masjid wadiyan ihda rijlayhi ala al-ukhra. Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lying on his back in the masjid with one leg placed or raised above the other leg. Certain points obviously we see evident from this hadith is that there are certain groups of the ummah now that have formed the opinion that it is not permissible to sleep in the masjid. We'll find certain masajids, there's even signs that you are not allowed to sleep. From this hadith, we learn that it is permissible to sleep in the masjid. However, there is this caveat with that, that ulama kiram encourage that if you are going to rest in the masjid for whatever reason, obviously it should not be in a way that you're disturbing anybody. It should not be at the time of salah, etc. It should not be in such a place where you are going to disturb the flow of traffic in the masjid, or in any way influence or interfere with the actual purpose and objective of the masjid, which is a place of ibadat, place of Allah's zikr, place of remembering Allah Ta'ala. And say as far as possible, if you are going to take rest in the masjid, then make the niyat of i'tikaf, nafil i'tikaf, so that your time is spent, and do some form of ibadat. Where the prohibition comes about is if a person turns a masjid into a hotel, or he turns it into a permanent sleeping area, then you are going against what the objective of a masjid is. However, to lie down, you're tired, past the time of salah, musallis have left, etc. To lie down in the masjid, this is something that will be perfectly permissible, as we see from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of sahaba ikram also. So far as lying down with one leg raised over the other, which is a natural position a lot of people tend to adopt. From this hadith we learn that this is perfectly permissible. However, there are other ahadith wherein we are prohibited from lying on the back with one leg raised over the other. The explanation ulama give for this apparent contradiction is the prohibition lies when, for example, someone is wearing a lungi, a loincloth, and there's a possibility of his private parts getting exposed by lying on his back and raising one leg over the other. If there is a possibility that your private part will get exposed, in that instance it will not be permissible to adopt this position, particularly in a public place. However, if that possibility is not there, as we can see in this hadith, Abdullah bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lying down in the masjid with one leg raised over the other. An Jabir bin Samura radiallahu anhu qal, kana an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha salla al-fajra tarabba'a fi majlisihi hatta tatlu'a shamsu hasana. Sahadith sahih rawahu Abu Dawud وغيره بأسانيد صحيحة. Jabir bin Samura radiallahu anhu narrates that it was the noble practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when he would perform his Fajr Salah, he would sit cross-legged in his majlis, in his sitting posture, until the sun rose brightly. From this we see what would Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam daily do after Fajr. This time after Fajr is a very, very Mubarak time. It is a time that is greatly stressed. The day is beginning. start the day on a positive note. Start the day in a good manner. Inshallah, the whole day will be something favorable for us. We learn in Shariat also, a lot of emphasis is placed on the starting and the ending. Allah's mercy is such, start on a good note, end on a good note. We find in Ahadith, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that Allah Ta'ala in between says to his Malaika, when they bring the report, that this is what my slaves were doing in the beginning, this is what they were doing in the ending, Allah Ta'ala says everything in between also, write it down as if it is ibadat. And Allah Ta'ala wipes away the sins that one does. So it is very, very important that we get into the habit and practice of starting our day in a good manner. So this time after Fajr Salah, Hajis have returned. We know the famous hadith, Hajis once in a lifetime, or for those that are more fortunate, once a year. You can't make Hajj more often than that. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla subha fi jama'atin thumma jalasa fi musallahu yadhkurullaha ta'ala hatta tatlu'a ash-shams thumma salla raka'atayn kana lahu mithlu ajri hajjatin wa umratin tamma tamma tamma. The reward of Hajj is too immense in this brief majlis for us to go into details. How many ahadith Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, Allah will give you this, Allah will give you this. You'll be like a newborn baby, your sins will be wiped away. You will be a jannati, laysa lahu jazaun illa al-jannah. What rewards are mentioned for Hajj? So the shock and inclination for Hajj was there in the hearts of Sahaba. So we are given one nuskha, nabawi prescription. How to get the reward of Hajj and Umrah every day without any airline ticket, without thousands of rands of expense, without all the difficulty that is associated with Hajj, without accreditation, etc., without even tying the ihram. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that person who reads his Fajr Salah with Jamaat and thereafter Thumma Jalasa Fi Musallahu remains or sits in the place of his Salah, in other words within the precincts or boundaries of the Masjid, يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى, engages in Allah's zikr, ibadat. We find our Jamaat brothers, mashallah, many places the morning mashura takes place at that time. In other words, some amal of deen, wherein Allah is remembered, some fikr of deen, etc. Tilawat of Quran, dua, whatever it may be. Until the sun rises, in other words, the time of Ishraq. In this hadith, the word comes, تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ حَسْنَاءَ. What this means, in other words, brightly, apparently, clearly. The yardstick ulama ikram give is, they say, two spears lengths. In other words, 2 or 3 meters up. The sun rises, it's clear, it has risen. 12 minutes, 13 minutes, comfortably, so that we don't be in a big rush, allow 15 minutes. After the time of Subah Sadiq. In other words, after the time of the Tulu'a Shams, the rising of the sun. So 15 minutes after sunrise, plus minus. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after Fajr Salah, remain in the masjid, in amal of deen, Allah's zikr until the time of Ishraq. Thereafter, he turakat Salah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kana lahu mithlu ajri hajjatin wa umratin tamma tamma tamma. He emphasized this. Don't doubt this. In this 1 1/4 hour, or even 1 hour, depending on what time Fajr Salah Jamaat is, Allah will give you the reward of one complete accepted Hajj and Umrah. So every day we are given this opportunity. We can't put a price tag on it. First obvious requirement is to be in the masjid for Fajr. Make our Fajr Salah with Jamaat. And Fajr Salah with Jamaat, like I said, start the day correctly, inshallah the whole day will go correctly. Fajr Salah with Jamaat, man salla subha fi jamaatin fahuwa fi dhimmatillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the man who reads his Fajr Salah with Jamaat, he is in the direct protection of Allah. This was such a thing which Sahaba and the generations after them took on their hearts to such an extent, such yaqeen and conviction they had on this. Person like Hajjaj bin Yusuf, who's known as a tyrant, he spilled the blood of many Sahaba, many Tabi'een, mercilessly, cold-bloodedly, cut off the heads of many of the friends of Allah Ta'ala. He's a figure in history that is known for his carnage, ruthlessness, being a bloodthirsty individual. It's mentioned about him, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, that when he decided to make zulm and oppression on someone, wanted to kill someone, he would ask that person, did you make your Fajr Salah with Jamaat today? And if that person said, I made my Fajr Salah with Jamaat today, Hajjaj would desist from attacking such a person. Why? Because he would say, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَهُوَ فِي ذِمَّةِ اللَّهِ. This man is in the direct protection of Allah. So we are living in trying times. People are worried about aman, worried about protection, worried about safety, worried about security. We are given one tool of security. Make your Fajr Salah with Jamaat, you will be in the protection of Allah. And taqdeer, something was supposed to happen, whatever happens, whoever in any way has to harm you will have to directly answer to Allah Ta'ala. So very, very important. Sahaba describing, kehna ke main aashiq rasul bahut aasan hai. To say I love Rasulullah is very easy. To say I follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is also very easy. This is the yardstick. This is the thermometer. Start your day like the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started his day. This was a daily practice. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Fajr Salah would remain in the masjid. He would interact with Sahaba. Sometimes Tabir al-Ru'ya, they would mention dreams that they saw. Sometimes he would mention a dream that he saw. He would interpret this for Sahaba, etc. Abdullah bin Zayd says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, cross-legged, he would sit in the masjid after he performed the Fajr Salah until the sun had risen brightly. And thereafter, as I mentioned, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would read two rakat Salah, which is obviously what we call Salatul Ishraq. Ulama Ikram give us this encouragement and advice that besides that, read another two rakats. The other two rakats, Salatul Hajat. That, Ya Allah, make my day easy for me. Whatever difficulties, problems I am facing, Ya Allah, remove it. These are tools we are given to bring barakah, bring blessings, bring ease, bring afiyat. So very, very important. If you're not in the habit of Ishraq, you can see from all these ahadith that we should try and bring these things in our lives. Like your stuff, inshallah.